Thanks for joining us for another Heartland Filmmaker interview. With us today is renowned director Werner Herzog. He has directed film classics such as Akira, The Wrath of God, and Fitzcarraldo, as well as recent documentary features like Grizzly Man and Encounters at the End of the World. His film Cave of Forgotten Dreams is our most recent, truly moving picture award winner. Chatting with him today is our own Tim Irwin.
Thanks for taking the time to chat with us today. We appreciate it. To get us started, could you give us just a brief overview of your new film for our audience?
Cave of Forgotten Dreams is a film about a prehistoric cave which was discovered about 16 years ago, and it was immediately understood as one of the greatest discoveries in cultural history, because the paintings that were found in there are completely and wonderfully accomplished, but they date back far beyond of what we have ever discovered. They date back 35,000 years in time. And the whole cave was preserved as a perfect time capsule, because in the gorge of the Ardèche River in southern France, the cliff face collapsed and sealed off the entrance for more than 20,000 years. So we have a perfectly preserved time capsule.
Wonderful. So I've admired you and your work for quite a while. You've done a lot of different things, been all over the world, even acted in small independent movies like Julian Donkey Boy. What led you to these caves specifically?
There was an early fascination about cave paintings in me, and nobody knew about it, but in my early adolescence, when I was something like 12, I discovered a book in the display of a bookstore about cave paintings, and I was completely mesmerized. I'd never seen anything like this picture on the front of the cover of the book, and I really wanted to buy and have this book, but I didn't have the money, so I immediately started for months to work as a ball boy in tennis courts, and each week I would sneak by and I would check whether the book was still there. I hoped nobody else would buy the book. I apparently thought it was the only one, the only copy, or so I didn't have the notion that there were various copies of books. And when I finally bought the book and opened it, this kind of sense of awe has never left me. So I had the feeling, yes, this all of a sudden, so many years later, materialized and came into fruition.
And you were able to pass that sense of awe on through the film. I felt it myself.
Exactly, that's that. I think you still have this sense of me as a 12-year-old looking at the paintings with this sense of wonder, with this sense of awe. Yeah. And it comes across to audiences.
It does, very much. So you've made films all around the world in the remote jungles of South America, in the Antarctic. What was the experience like gaining access to these caves, which I hear are pretty strictly prohibited?
Well, yes, there is only a handful of scientists being allowed in, and it was a huge process of getting permission through the French Ministry of Culture, the regional government, the Council of Scientists. They all had to agree. But when you are saying, yes, I have filmed in the Sahara Desert and in the jungle and in Antarctica and so, well, that's horizontally. I have stretched out into the far corners of our planet, but I'm always looked deep into what constitutes our human soul in a way. And the cave film is a perfect example, looking deep into the recesses of time. And currently, I'm making a film about death row inmates.
Wow.
And I tried to find a title, a common title for maybe a whole cluster of films. And I thought, gazing into the abyss, into the human, into the dark abysses of recesses of the human soul. And it dawned on me that this would be a fine title for the cave film, would be a fine title for my feature film, Akira, The Wrath of God, and many others.
Yeah, very much.
I'm always trying also to look vertically, deeper into things, not just spreading out horizontally.
Fantastic. So in the film, there's you show your first trip into the caves, which is just, I think, for maybe an hour with some unprofessional equipment. Did you know at that time that you would be able to go back more and that 3D would be a part of it?
By then, I already had the permit, yes.
Okay.
So you wouldn't enter with anyone.
Right.
People who tried for years to get into the cave and never got a chance.
So how did the idea of filming it in 3D come about? Because it seems so natural for the textures of the walls.
It is, yes. And everyone who sees it in 3D would immediately know that was a very legitimate use of 3D.
Yes.
Because the paintings are not on flat walls or slightly undulating walls. There's a huge drama of formations, and this drama was understood and utilized by the painters 35,000 years ago.
And you get that sense of motion when they made several images sort of almost stereoscope, you know, back-to-back that you get with the 3D. It's incredible.
Yeah. There are examples where you have a galloping bison, but the bison is depicted with eight legs.
Mm-hmm.
Or you have a woolly rhino in seven or eight phases, consecutive little phases, and it almost looks like proto-cinema or proto-animated film phases. So it's, of course, it is a nowadays, a today perspective, but it's kind of stunning to see an attempt of depicting motion 35,000 years ago.
Yeah. You know, for a lot of your films, you've faced really tough filming locations, you know, being everywhere that you've mentioned before. How was this hard with such tight space restrictions with your crew and with your new 3D camera technology?
Well, I think we shouldn't talk too much about difficulties of shooting, because every film somehow poses different problems and obstacles. And so what really counts is what you see on the screen. But to answer your question, yes, we had very, very severe restrictions. I could only have a team of three. I was only allowed 1 week of shooting, but only 4 hours per day. We could only film from a 2-foot-wide metal walkway, never step off it. Of course, all these restrictions make sense, because too many people in other caves have left the breath has left a mold which cannot be controlled, and they had to shut down some of these caves for good. So, and you are walking along this metal walkway, and next to you there are fresh tracks of cave bears. And you know, while you are watching these tracks, that the cave bear as a species became extinct more than 20,000 years ago.
That must be an incredible feeling, being there.
It's completely mind-boggling, or a passage of time. Somebody, through radiocarbon dating, we know that, somebody starts a charcoal painting of, let's say, a reindeer, and someone else completes it, and we know that was 5,000 years later.
It's incredible.
Completely inconceivable for us.
Yeah, and I think a little bit of that magic, that wonder comes through on the film. Nothing like what you got being there, I'm sure, but... like you mentioned, this film is very vertically oriented. You know, it goes into the depths of the human soul. And there's a part in the film where you question, you know, maybe was this the start of the human soul when music and art finally presented themselves? How quickly did you connect this element of spirituality and history to the cave? Did this start back with that book in the window?
In a way, yes, although at the time when I bought the book in the 50s or so, there was a school of archaeology which would immediately would interpret everything with religious meanings and symbols of something spiritual and rituals and whatever. So we have a different time now, a different school of younger archaeologists who see the same paintings, but they caution, they say... They simply say, we do not really know. And of course, when you look at it today, we do not really know how human beings so early in the recesses of time viewed these paintings. It is a speculation which cannot be dismissed, that there must have been some sort of ceremonies. But again, we can only speculate.
Right. As you were in the caves and as you talked to the scientific experts, was there a single moment, maybe revelation, that impressed itself upon you more than others?
Well, it was not a single moment when we were filming there without the scientists, and it was only four men, camera crew, or three men and me, and two guards, and we were all alone in this silence. The amount of silence, when you hold your breath, you hear your own heartbeat. And secondly, since these paintings are so fresh, and the tracks of bears look fresh, and there's a footprint of a child next to the footprint of a wolf, so you have the feeling this all happened a few hours ago. And sometimes you had this creepy feeling we are disturbing someone in the process of painting, and some eyes are staring at us from the dark. I'm not a superstitious person, but sometimes you got this feeling.
Yeah, you get it in the film just watching it too, definitely.
Yeah.
I've got to ask you, at one point you bring a master perfumer along who sniffs the outside of the cave, and then he senses the inside of the cave. How did you come upon this idea of exploring the senses that film, you know, as a sensory medium, couldn't replicate?
Well, it's in the film itself. I mention that since nobody is allowed into the cave, there's a plan to build a replica, a three-dimensional replica for tourists a few miles away, with perfect replicas of the paintings with all the stalactites and stalagmites and crystal cathedrals. And there's a plan, apparently a plan, to recreate the scent of the prehistoric cave. So it was not just my idea. I just picked it up because it was floating around. And the perfumer, actually a lady who was into this, ultimately did not want to appear in the movie. So I found a much better one anyway, because she was kind of boring. But I found a wonderful man nearby who used to be the president of the French Association of Master Perfumers. It is just wonderful.
He was perfect. I thought he has to be in a Werner Herzog film. He has to.
He's my man.
That's wonderful. You know, this sort of supernatural or pseudo-supernatural feeling you got in the cave, you know, that comes through in the film. Are there any words that can describe that sensation? Or is it just something that you feel?
One single three-letter word. One single expression. Awe. Capital A, capital W, capital E.
I think that sums it up very well.
Thank you.
Some of your films you've mentioned have sort of evolved or emerged organically from the material that you shot, like Down in Antarctica. Was this film planned out in advance? Was there a lot of research that went into it?
No, even you cannot, because you are allowed only practically once for a week into the cave, and that's it. You have to make your assessments very quickly. But I think everything that is important in the cave has made its way into the film.
Very good. At the end of the film, there's a coda that sort of describes a nearby nuclear power plant and a greenhouse that's erupted there that shouldn't naturally be there. And there were so many ideas in this one small section of the film that I haven't been able to process them all yet. Was this maybe you extrapolating humanity's future existence and mutation and evolution?
No, I think it has more to do with perception. We have no real idea about how did Paleolithic man perceive his images. And shifts in perception are very fast from us to our children's generation, who watch films with digital effects, who are into video games, who are into virtual realities on the internet. They see the world and realities already in a shift. And how would an albino crocodile spreading out all the way to the Chauvet cave look at these images? And are we not the crocodiles who are gazing at these strange images? So it has to do mostly with perception And of course, it's a wild science fiction fantasy, and I love to depart in an epilogue, in a postscript, from the sheer factual events and things that we are filming. I want to take the audience along on a wild ride of imagination, and audiences actually appreciate it.
Yeah, I certainly appreciated it. It shifts your perspective of the sense of scope that you have looking back that long, and we have no idea what they were like. We can only wonder. Is there something that you would like audiences to take away from seeing this film, or is it more just there for them to experience and contemplate?
Well, I can't really tell you what exactly I would like, but what I've seen, what I've witnessed with audiences, like, for example, in Toronto last year, where it was shown at the festival, I mingled into the audience who left the theater in semi-darkness. Nobody ever speaks about having seen a movie. They speak about having seen or having been in a cave. And I think that's a very wonderful way to describe the I have experienced and they have experienced.
That was Werner Herzog, director of the truly moving picture award winner Cave of Forgotten Dreams. We would like to thank Werner and IFC Films for making this interview possible and for giving the world such a spectacular vision of these prehistoric caves and the way the paintings relate to our lives today.